just to briefly let you know, I'm going to tell the story again because I have to. There was a couple of years back, one of the some of our people, we went on the tour, and Diana was on the tour, and I didn't go on that tour. I sent Diana without me, and when they came back, all I heard was Rami, 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 Rami did this, and Rami said that, and Rami, Rami, Rami. It's like, who is this guy Rami? So anyway, they told me that he is a great teacher and a great guide in Israel, and they said, and if he ever comes to the States, we have to have him to speak. So a couple of years later, Rami was in the States. He came to Kol Mashiach, and who knew? But he really was Rami, Rami, Rami. And he did, and we loved him. He did a great job here. He really delivers the word. He's a great teacher, and he's a good preacher. And so he has a standing invitation whenever he is in the States, and he's not that often. He is invited to come to Kol Mashiach, and I'm sure he's going to tell us a little about the ministry that they have in Israel also. So without further ado, as they say, Rabbi Danieli. Yes.
Okay, am I on?
Yes, you are.
Well, no words. I really, my wife, please. Yeah, this is the better side. This is Gabriela, and we just had our 34th year anniversary while here, July 6th. So I'm very, very privileged. I married up, actually.
Yes.
Don't know what about you. I married up. What do you know? okay, I just wanted to say that I feel home here, and am I not too loud? I really, really feel home. I love this house of God. I love to stand before you, and or just to be a part of you, of who you are. You do a great job, and I really love this place. So let's pray. Let's talk. Always this. A good thing to do. Abba, Adonai, Sfatai Tiftach, Ufi Yagid Tehilatecha. Abba, I pray that you will open my lips so I can declare your glories, your praises in this place. Holy Spirit, use me and just flow through me like the living waters. Be the living waters now through me, Abba, B'Shem Yeshua. Amen. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the grace. Thank you, Abba, for the privilege even to speak before this holy crowd. Thank you, B'Shem Yeshua. Amen. B'Shem Yeshua, in the name of Yeshua in Hebrew. So let's go straight, dive into Scripture, shall we? What I felt, you know, during the worship, this is usually the time where the Lord speaks to me, where to start. Okay, put some order. I think the Lord wanted to start at John 6, the very famous scripture, John 6. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to John 6. We'll start at verse 48. Yeshua speaks to the crowds, actually, in Capernaum, Kfar Nahum. Those of you who have been with me, you know where it is. Down there in the Sea of Galilee, northwestern shores of the Sea of Galilee. Verse 48, John 6:48. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Yeshua, verse 53, said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I because of the Father, because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. Again, he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." Those things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, please listen, not many of the crowds, but many of his disciples. And I am sure you are well versed in the Bible and you know that Yeshua did not have only 12. He had hundreds and thousands maybe following him. Yet how many really, really kept with him till the very end? Only a few, right? So many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" When Yeshua knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh profits nothing." And I will repeat it. "It is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Yeshua knew from the beginning who they were." They. He doesn't speak only on Judah Iscariot. "Who they were who did not believe. And who would betray him." And he said, "Therefore I say to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." From, and this is interesting, I think I said it before here on this stage or other, interesting, there was no division to chapters and verses in the Bible up till very recently. And here, John 6:6:6. We are in John 6. And now we are going to read verse 66. John 6:6:6. "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Yeshua said to the 12, 'Do you also want to go away?' But Simon Peter answered him," and I pray that at the end of this service, not just this service, at the end of our life journey with Yeshua, most of us will still stick to Simon Peter's words here. Not only in his great confession in Caesarea, the regions of Caesarea Philippi, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." But to this: "Lord, to whom shall we go? This is a man who tasted from the goodness of the Lord, who tasted from the living waters, beloved. How can you exchange the living water for still water, or stagnant water, thank you." Yeah, both start with S. How can you exchange for the real bread that you tasted from and nourished your soul, your spirit, with just the daily bread in Olive Garden? I'm not joking. Because the context of this chapter is that Yeshua starts this, discussion, "I am the bread," and all this. He says to them, "Amen, I tell you, you did not come to me to, you just came because I multiplied the bread. Check me." It's in the context. They were more interested, hey, we have free meal. I mean it. Let's go to church. Let's go to the Messianic Temple because, you know, they give good food at the end. Their oneg is woo-hoo, much better than McDonald's. If you come to this place for this reason, you fall into this bad category of those disciples who could not understand the friendship between CNN and Fox broadcast levels. Are you with me? Waves, I meant. Who could not differentiate between the spirit, my words are spirit, and the flesh, that he also provided by his grace. So, Simon Peter, again, 68, answered, by the way, 68, wow, six, I never thought about it, men's number, eight new beginnings. You want new beginnings in your life? Follow John 6:68. I just invented it. Whether it's from God or not, you decide. You have the Holy Spirit. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Here, the two confessions are together. Beautiful. Beloved, this is a typical end-time scripture. You want to know the definition of apostasy? You know, turning, instead of chazara b'tshuva, repenting, you know, turning from your ways and to go to God, this is the opposite. This is God over here. Oops! Oh, we cannot understand. Let's leave. It's too much for us. This is a clear passage of apostasy. When you cannot any longer hear the words because they are too harsh, too hard to understand. To understand in this little box. When we open ourselves to the living water, when we'll talk most of this message about the living waters, the dependency that we have in the living waters. If we don't open ourselves to and let the living water flow through us, we have no chance to understand Yeshua. Because he's in the Torah, by the way. Remember, I did not come to abolish or destroy, do away with the Torah or the prophets and the prophets. I did not come to do this, but to fulfill. And I think I preached about here, from this stage, that fulfillment is not to do it so you are exempt. But it is rather to give the right interpretation. Lemale in Hebrew, biblically and rabbinically, in the days of Yeshua, till this very day in Orthodox cycles, is to give the right interpretation. The lawyer who came to Yeshua, what shall I do to have eternal life? Oh, you know the commandments, yeah? He said, oh, I did it all, you know. Remember, we told him, okay, yeah, okay, just one little thing, you know, sell your house, sell your Cadillac, sell your private airplane, you know. And to another lawyer, he says, what's written in the law and how do you read it? Paul says that at the end time, another sign of the end time is that many will think they can be, I'm paraphrasing it, 1 Timothy chapter 1. Many teach fables and all this in the name of Torah teaching. And Paul, the greater interpreter after Yeshua of the Torah, the greatest rabbi ever, when he writes the difficult verses in Galatians, in Ephesians, in Colossians, name it, Philippians, which are hard for the messianic ears to hear, he actually gives the perfect interpretation to God's Torah. So the church, what the church did, completely misunderstanding, kick the baby in the bathroom, with the bathwater, I mean the Torah, boom, out. And Messianic Jews have the same danger of grasping hold of everything, even the junk. No. We need to keep with Yeshua's interpretation. Amen. Which is later on goes through the greatest rabbi ever lived here, Mr. Shaul from Tarsus. So, how do we read the Torah? Are we really Torah teachers? Do we understand the Torah as it really was meant to be understood? Let's dive deeper, shall we? two questions to you, and you know me already. When I ask a question, I expect an answer. It's not rhetorical. I'm a Jew. What can I? Yeah. You know, Jews, you know, argue, discuss. Yeah. Two questions. How many of you think that we are in the end time period or the end of the end time? If you don't think so, something is wrong with you, not because you cannot spiritually something is wrong with you, because the biggest sign is me standing in front of you. What? What are you making yourself? You know? No, I'm nothing. I am nothing without Yeshua. But I am an Israeli-born Jew. Israeli-born Jew, not in diaspora. Are you with me? How could I be? I've been born in Israel because Israel is now sovereign state after 2,000 years. So this is if you don't believe that Yeshua is close, for sure he's closer 2,000 years, because Paul believed that he is coming. Are you with me? In his days. So for sure we are in advance 2,000 years, but we are very, very much advanced because of the fact that everything, all the setting is there for Yeshua to come back to restore the kingdom to Israel. He's not coming to restore the kingdom to Melbourne, Florida with all honor. He's coming to the Mount of Olives where he was ascended, taken, yeah? Up by the clouds. He comes in the same manner, Acts chapter 1, to restore the kingdom to Israel. We are in the end time. So I'm happy that most of the hands were raised. Question number two is, don't disappoint me now. What is the very first sign? Don't look at it now. It's in Matthew 24. Don't go there. What is the very first sign of end times according to Yeshua, our King and Savior? Wait. They shall rise against nations. Come on. Can you speak up so I will? Wars, rumor of wars, come on. Peace, peace. Okay, all of you, at least all of you that I heard, are wrong. The very first sign that Yeshua talks about when they say, tell us what it will be, how it will be, you know, the sign of the end of the age, the sign of the coming, he says, be aware, be careful of deception. Deception comes before earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars. Why do I say it? Because sometimes we tend to overlook this. Deception. We are not in deception. No, we are okay. Really? Whenever you say or you think I am okay, my Bible at least tells me, be careful. Check yourself. Let somebody shake you before it's too late. Because when you give Satan one finger, he will swallow like a snake swallows. Did you see a snake, how he swallows his prey? He starts, you know, little, and then it opens up and swallows all of you. And before you know it, you are in the snake and not in Yeshua. Deception is the very first end time sign. Are you with me? And deception takes time to grow. Like faith takes time. When you want to, in the natural, and you know, in the Hebraic mindset, it's not only cyclical, yeah? The beginning and the end are the same. I blah, blah about it here a lot, okay? And you know, so most of you who know my teachings know it. Not only it's cyclical, but the natural is connected with the spiritual. You cannot just divide them. Are you with me? What do you do in order to be a weightlifter? You practice. Otherwise, you cannot one day go to the competition and take those 200 pounds or whatever and boop, boop. No. You will break your back, you will die. And you will shame yourself for sure. But every day, a few times a day, and you start from small and to big weight, right? Why? You want those muscles to be developed. Same it is with your spiritual muscles. If you do not develop your spiritual muscles from the very beginning, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it, my friends. We need to develop our spiritual muscles from the very beginning. How many of you, question number three, believe that life is nothing but a big, for some big, for some smaller, yeah, journey? Raise hands. Come on. How many of you believe that since you were born till the day you die, you are on a journey? Hopefully from glory to glory and not from downfall to downfall. Because all the world, whether it admits it or not, is in a journey to go somewhere. Hopefully, we are on our journey, on the correct one, on the correct path. What am I talking about? The portion of this week. Let's go to our portion. Numbers. Numbers 33, verse 1, 2. Numbers. Those are the journeys of the children of Israel who went out of the land of Egypt by their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. Now Moses wrote down the starting points of their journeys at the command of the Lord, and those are their journeys according to their starting points. Beloved, how many of you remember what I taught here and on my website? Okay? That the story of our salvation is patterned after only one thing in the Bible. The Exodus out of Egypt. Remember? There is nothing new under the sun. Galatians tells us, or Galatians somewhere else, okay, in Paul's epistles, that even Abraham was preached the gospel. Are you with me? First Corinthians tells us, or Hebrews tells us, that the Hebrews, our forefathers, the Israelites, could not enter because of lack of faith. They heard the same gospel. Nothing is new under the sun. Are you with me? Of course, in principle. The climax of the gospel, of course, was 2,000 years ago when Yeshua spilled his real blood. But before, the gospel was in pictures, in foreshadows. It's the same gospel. Same good news. So, beloved, here we have an opportunity in our Torah portion. Are you still listening? To understand the starting points of our journeys. Why? Why is it so important that Moses, it says by the command of the Lord? Why all this blah, blah, blah? I mean, if you read those, some of the words I cannot spell as pronounce in Hebrew. Are you with me? For sure not you, because it's anyway perverted into English, yeah? Words, I mean, they went to Punon, 42 stations. Who cares? Just tell me that they started here and they finished there. Hallelujah! Who cares what is in between? The weight lifting is what is in between. Because most of us will fall from the grace in between point A, which is where? Where is it according to the portion? Ramses, Egypt. When they apply the blood of the lamb. Grace, are you with me? They did not do anything for it. They just put the blood, you know, on the lintels, doorposts, and zoop, out they go from Egypt. Do you get it? And the end station is the plains of Moab across the Jordan River, across Jericho. Okay? East of Jericho. So point number one is grace, the blood of Yeshua, and guess what? Point Z, the end, is also crossing the Jordan River by act of grace on the side of God. What am I talking about? Remember how the waters were gushing and rushing because it was springtime, unlike today? across Jericho. They could not. The millions could not cross. They had infants, they had the animals with them. What saved them? What actually parted or pushed the water to the to Adam? It's a different sermon or teaching. I will not do it now. My friends, it was the Ark of the Covenant, which was a picture of Yeshua. Are you with me? Yeah. Who crossed with the Israelites? Was it Moses or Yeshua? Joshua. Joshua! Are you with me? It's all full of pictures. The gospel is there from the very beginning, beloved. But the problem is in between that first Passover in Egypt. Are you following? And the stations. Why were the stations there? Because most of them, by the way, if you look carefully, were very non-complimenting. No, a compliment, but opposite of compliment. You know what? It was. The Bible does not compliment the Israelites for being great believers. Most of those stations, Chatzerot, Kivrot HaTa'ava, you know, were places where the Bible wants you to understand and not to follow the example. Are you with me? Don't follow their example. It keeps tells us. Remember, that's why the itemization of the stations. Do you see what I mean? Because with most of those who came out of Egypt, station number one, remember, out of the 42, most of them did not make it to cross the Jordan. Are you with me? Yeah. Woo-woo! Now, do you remember what was happening just before they crossed? Of course, Moses went to, parted from them on Pisgah, Mount Nebo. But something else happened. What did we say is the first sign of end times? And I hope you know that we are almost going to cross the Jordan River, right? Spiritually. Yeshua is coming, or we will die. That's the only two places, two options by which you can cross your Jordan. Are you with me? What was it? Deception. What is the last trial through which 24,000 are dead, plagued by God? We just read about it. Bileam. Deception. Is it a coincidence? No, the beginning and the end are the same. Why Yeshua, you think, warns us from deception? Because this was just before Israelites crossed over. Bileam comes. A false picture of typical false prophet who started good and erred for profit, as Judah tells us in the Bible. He started good. I disagree that he was from the beginning a false prophet. He spoke in the name of God in his private name. You know what I mean, yeah? The God of Israel, the Lord of Israel, yeah? He was... Wow, he spoke spiritually. Today we would call it spoke Christianese or Messianese. But he erred because his heart was not complete, was not shalem before God. Are you with me? So deception is just before you cross the Jordan River. So I want to help you today. I want to. God wants to help you. By God's grace, he will use me to strive not to fall in between point A and point Z. Shall we dive deeper? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Thank you, Abba. 1 Corinthians 10. I want to show you a truth which is beautiful. First Corinthians 10. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses and in the cloud in the sea. By the way, Here you can see why I say that the story, our journey with the Lord, is patterned after the Exodus out of Egypt. All applied the blood of which lamb? The lamb of Passover. Which blood did you apply on your heart? Hopefully not the blood of tabernacles or first fruits. No, the lamb of Passover. Are you with me? Now listen, verse 3. All ate the same spiritual food. Did you notice? All ate. Remember I told you the gospel was already preached before? All ate the spiritual food? Excuse me? Can you survive on spiritual food alone? Especially when you are in the wilderness, in the desert? No! But guys, whatever they got from God in the physical was a foreshadow. Beautiful picture, which needed that its purpose was actually not only to sustain them in the flesh, but to speak about something much greater. The Spirit. My words are Spirit. Are you ready now? Verse 4. And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Messiah. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. And the book of Hebrews tells us again, because of lack of faith. Faith, not works. Not because they did not perform well enough. Beloved, who walked with them in the desert? By the way, most of the 42 stations in our portion are in the desert. The desert role in the believer's life is the desert in the believer's follower of Yeshua's life is an integral part of the package deal. Like I say always, today, brother, you know, you can fly to Egypt and take an airplane, you know, El Al even, plane from Cairo, zoop to Ben Gurion. Forget about it. In the word of God, you need to walk through the 42 stations before Ben Gurion. No shortcuts. No leaps. Are you with me? God wants us to follow the pattern. We will walk through the desert because it is only in the desert that we will meet the good shepherd. Come with me to Israel on a tour and you will see where the shepherds are found. In the agricultural land? No, in the desert. And a good shepherd knows to take you to the mountaintops, right? But not to leave you there because you will die. You will be a lousy shepherd. Are you listening with your spiritual ears? The good shepherd, Yeshua, will take you sometimes to see, to look at the big picture. Son, don't get discouraged when you get with me to the next valley of the shadow of death. It is part of the way to the promised land. Good army units will go always, you know, scouts, they will go up and look at the big picture before they can proceed. Do you see what I mean? And their procession will never be on the temple, on the mountaintop. I'm an officer in the army, captain, and I would never take my soldiers on the top of the mountain. You are like ducks in a, you know, boom, 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 in a shooting range. Of course you will go down. Do you see what I mean? Which is much harder. Because you need to trust your commander. You need to... Good shepherd will always take us through the desert. Only there we will find the still water. Only there will we find food, grazing area. The natural and the spiritual are the same. So in the wilderness, in the desert walk, can we survive in the natural now? Can we survive while we walk in the desert without water? No! He is our living water, and it says here, my friends, Christ, He sustained them throughout their ways from point A to point Z. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. This saying from Rabbi Shaul is Torah-based. What else could he base it on? Because point A to point Z, they were with that rock. Are you with me? But while in the desert, you need to be very, very, very careful in the way you treat that rock. Am I right? I say that towards the end, just before the Jordan River, Moses needs to say bye-bye. Because he mistreated Messiah who was with them. And why he did strike the rock? You can say he was very excited, he was furious with the people, rebellious. But friends, please, how do you read the Torah? You need to look at God's perspective, because God's perspective is, you did not believe in me to hallow my name. What is the biggie, which prevents you from entering your promised land? Lack of faith, not deeds. Are you with me? It's beautiful. My time is running out, so I want to take you now to... No, I did not finish it. Let's go to the portion of the week from the Torah. I mean from prophets. Haftorah, you call it Haftarah, okay? Why don't we move on and look at our Haftarah in Jeremiah. Open in Jeremiah 1. Where are you, Jeremiah? Here. Jeremiah 1. But before I feel led, I mean, put your finger on Jeremiah 1, but I want us to go to Revelation. Ooh, beginning, end, because they are connected. And whatever is between, okay, it's all the living waters. So, Revelation, the very first epistle to the very first church, Ephesus. And beloved, there is a big mistake to put the feasts of God on a line and check, check, check. They are on cycle. I think I said it here. And let's not, as Messianics at least, let's not adapt the Greek mindset. I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, it's cycle, okay? Circle. But also, as far as the Word of God is concerned, okay, they are all connected. And the first church and the seven, you remember the seven churches? You should not put them on a line. Because the first church, Ephesus, is very well connected to the last one, the Laodiceans. Are you with me? Let's see what God says, Yeshua says, to the very first church. In verse 4. He compliments them, you know, for sustaining, for standing in the faith. Verse 4. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. What is Yeshua concerned most? The way we keep Torah, the way we keep church, whatever, our religiosity, our works? No. My beloved, love relationship. I do not want Gabby, my sweetheart, only to cook well. She is a wonderful cook. Okay? Or to smile at me in a very, very religiously way. Hey, how are you? How was your day? And, you know, once I don't look at her, Oh no, he came. Now I'm not free anymore to do whatever I want. No! We have love. I pray we have, and I love her with all of my heart. Yes, by God's grace, I will keep till the day I die. We are the best friends. We have relationship. We don't need to impress one another with coffee to bed. No. We have relationship, real ones, which means we sometimes fight and argue. Excuse me? Do you wish to become Israelite, real Israelite? Do you know at all what the name Israel means? One who quarrels, who struggles, who wrestles with God. God was never interested in a bunch of yes men. No. You know, squared people. No. He wants a living wife. I don't know, don't my wife when I come home say, yes, sir. Here, I prepared this food. Is it okay? Excuse me? That's what religion does. Am I performing well enough? No, you don't. Because no performance is good enough, otherwise Yeshua would not need to come to die for us. So he wants love relationship. He is the last Adam. Second, last Adam, as Rabbi Shaul calls him, Paul, yeah? Why Adam? Why doesn't say his second Moses or his second Jeremiah? Which he is in a sense. My friends, because the main thing was he came for was not to improve Judaism. It wasn't to, God forbid, to create pagan religion, I call the baby by its name, called Christianity, which completely departed from her roots, Hebraic roots, Jewish roots, first century roots. No. He came to bring Jew and Gentile alike, first to the Jew, but also the Gentiles, to the love relationship, for God's sake. Relationship, not religion, which existed in the Garden of Eden. Because I do not remember, at least when I read it in Hebrew, Genesis 1, 2, 3, I don't remember that first Eve had a prayer shawl on her, and Adam had tzitzis. Actually, they were naked. They were completely covered by the Shekinah glory, as the rabbis interpret. They did not need religion. They were with the Torah. They were surrounded. They didn't need outward actions to show how good they are. Are you with me? If you don't have relationship with the living water here, you are wasting your time. Whether you go to Sunday or church or Shabbat. God is interested in disciples which will say, where shall we go? You have the living water. In this desertish life. Aren't you in desert sometimes? Don't be surprised. As I told you, Yeshua is leading you. He's the good shepherd. So we can find his word in his davar in the midbar, but I don't have time to develop it. Desert in Hebrew. Sermon. But let's finish with Jeremiah's word. Do you remember what was the problem of the first church? And by the way, when you do not care for your first love, are you with me? You will become Laodicean, because there is a connection, it's cyclical. What was the problem with the Laodiceans, the last church? Lukewarm. Remember? If you don't develop your spiritual muscles from the beginning, you will. Are you with me? So let's finish this message with the heart of God. That's what I prayed. I want you to get the heart of God, beloved. And the heart of God is this one. He misses us in the wilderness. How do I know? Because my Bible tells me so. Jeremiah 2. Verse 2. Go and cry in the hearing of Jerusalem. Who are we? Jerusalem. Zion, the heavenly. Thus says the Lord, I remember you. Chesed neurai. Chesed is grace. The kindness, the grace of your youth. The love of your betrothal. What bothered Yeshua with the first church? Which led to the lukewarm church? First love, what he remembers? That when they started desert, the wilderness walk with him, they had love relationship with him. There are other scriptures where he says, I will take you to the desert of the peoples, of the nations, to judge you there. God is missing us in the wilderness, because in the wilderness we really feel thirsty. When sorrows and hardships befall your lives, please don't give Satan glory which is not due to him. Rather give the glory to God which entrusted you with this hardship, so you can cry out to him, the living water, I need you, my rock, my salvation. When you went after me in the wilderness, in a land not sown. The next page, the same chapter, says this, verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Did you hear it? What did we say? We spoke about the journey from A, Egypt, to Z, our promised land. Are you following? I'm concluding. We spoke of the first commodity that you need in the wilderness, water. We spoke about the only one who provides it, the rock. We spoke about how we relate to him so we can cross. Are you with me? And here we close the cycle with God saying in our Torah, those words, he remembers the grace of our youth. He remembers the love relationship that he had with us when we were in the wilderness. You see, we want to escape the wilderness. What is the sign of end time? Deception, the first sign. What most of the church believes today? We will be snapped away before troubles come. Wrong doctrine, not because I can prove it, by the way, that it's wrong, but because it comes against the pattern which is in the Bible. If it's so true that the gospel is a name it and claim it and prosperity and faith and blessings, then how could you explain it to Yeshua and his disciples, most of which were killed? Go and explain it to Mr. Jeremiah. It doesn't fit. And if Yeshua taught something new in the New Testament, he is not my Messiah. Nothing is new under the sun. Do you see what I mean? Yeshua did not come to abolish. He came to fulfill, to give the right interpretation. His very life was the right interpretation, Torah interpretation. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Please, may I read one more scripture? And we will end with it. Back to John. I love this scripture, and it makes more sense after those words, I believe. You will check with your own spirit. John 7. John 7. Feast of Tabernacles, by the way, another sign of end time, the ingathering. Yeah. Here we are in an end time. John 7. End time scripture. And look what Yeshua says in the very last day. Verse 37. John 7, 37. We will end here. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Yeshua stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this is spoken concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit, Spirit of Holiness, was not yet given because Yeshua was not yet glorified. We do not have any excuse today, beloved, because the Holy Spirit is available today. So let's close in a prayer. Brother, you want to close? Oh. Abba, thank you for this word, which I even didn't plan that it will come like this. So I praise your name. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. No words to praise you, no words to worship you, to bow down before you. Abba, I pray that those words will sink first in my heart so I can be a good example. Not by talking alone, but by doing. Like Yeshua. Let me be like Yeshua. Let me be a disciple of Yeshua. Let us all be disciples like Simon Peter. Let us all crave for the living waters. Thank you for your promise. I pray that you will baptize us, whatever it means in the Bible. Baptize us with your Holy Spirit, Spirit of holiness. Make us more holier. Make us more serious. Let us thirst for your living waters. Thank you for the privilege even to stand here in your name, B'Shem Yeshua. Amen.